We're at Fringe Central. It's week zero. I've just had a photograph taken with some world leaders. I'm not going to say who, because they're going to come out in this interview with Belden Haig. And Belden Haig are playing in the Fringe, and they're a band with a difference, aren't they?
We certainly are. I think you could say we're world class in many different ways. But on the leadership front, that's where we're probably best known for the category of world leader that plays in our band.
So there are some spectacular masks that you wear. And I will say, we've got Donald Trump, we've got Vladimir Putin, and we've got Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. And now, go back before that, to the moments when this became a show, and this was the decision that you took.
Yeah. So we've been doing protest music for the last 2 years, something like that. Ever since the world started to go completely bonkers. So we'd released a couple of songs. One was called Freedom, the other one was called Land of Hope, which were protest songs. First was an anti-Trump song. Second one was really to do with the plight of refugees. And then we wanted to basically make something which was much more visceral for people when they were watching it, and particularly online. So we needed to look at how we built the online image of the band, and that's when we discovered Landon Meyer. And Landon Meyer is the world's most famous mask maker. He was based over in Denver, and he makes these incredible creations which look like waxworks. And you know, when you've just seen them,
they're realistic, and they're probably 10 grand each.
Yeah, well,
we won't say, but sponsors involved.
But they're a lot cheaper than the real thing, right?
But there is a shock factor about how much they look like the characters.
As soon as you see them, you think that is Trump or that is Putin or Kim Jong-un. And that's why it's nice to have them performing for us in our band, so we can parody them a little bit. And so we created a number of videos which went viral. We had millions of views on YouTube and Facebook and places like that for the singles that we released. And then about 6 months ago, we were invited onto a BBC session, and we decided to see if we could do this thing live. So we got the masks on, and we played on the radio wearing masks, which I know sounds a bit mad, but it was really just a test to see if we could pull it off. And after that, we thought, right, let's take it to the Fringe.
Technically, have you got the mics under the masks?
No, but those guys don't sing.
Okay.
So I'm singing. Okay, we've got two female backing vocalists as well,
okay,
who are unmasked, yeah? We've got a horn section as well, who you can't play saxophone with one of these things either.
And I guess, does the good shock factor then ease a bit so that we really can listen to the songs? Because there is a serious thing that goes on with protesting. So we kind of go, wow, and it's great, and they're there. But then we need to come down off that, don't we, and listen to what you're singing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the idea is, you know, I suppose the visual side of the band is an initial hook that is very different, and it draws people in. And then after that... Sorry, can you edit it?
No, I'm not editing. You're going to keep going.
All right, okay. So it's just so Jamie can take the phone away somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah. We're okay. There's lots going on here at Fringe Central.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, well, where were we? So we're on the initial shock factor is something which definitely... It's mesmeric, actually. When you watch it live, when you see the guys playing live, it's just spooky. I mean, even if you see them here today, it's something that's very difficult to take your eyes off. And it forms a way for us to kind of communicate a metaphor, really, about those three world leaders. Because when you look at Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, they really do use many of the same tactics. They are peas from the same pod. They definitely operate using the same playbook. Yeah. And so by putting them in the same band, having them play to the same beat, I think that is helping us to communicate that sort of underlying message. And then within the songs, there's different themes that then, you know, take place in the songs. Not all the songs are protest songs. You know, there's a good mix, and some of them are very funny. You know, some of them are very upbeat, dancey. If you like funk, you'll like it. If you like rock music, people will like it. It's also a lot of melody.
And also, but from the point of view of theatre, which we're particularly interested in, you know, what just happened? Jamie's a member of your team. Phone rings, he heads off to answer it. He's got to put a mask on, and then actually also be believable as Donald Trump. So beyond the wearing of the mask, what else do they do for you to kind of go, that's him?
Well, you've got to be able to play your instrument. I mean, you know, the thing
but
is...
But does he play it in a Donald Trump sort of
a
way?
A Donald Trump way.
Do you think they get into him without even knowing?
Well, when you wear these masks, that's a brilliant question. When you wear these masks, it does set you free a little bit to be a little bit more gregarious and outgoing. And so you'll see the characters come to life a little bit on stage, definitely. Mm. But to be fair to the guys, they do also have to play the instruments live. The masks get very hot inside. Mm. They're very difficult to see properly because you have limited peripheral vision. So, you know, they are putting on a performance at the same time as concentrating on making sure that we play the music well.
Think about the writing of protest songs. Mm-hmm. This generation particularly doesn't like being told what to do. Mm-hmm. They want to come up with their own answers. So how do you write a protest song that isn't too do-goody and isn't too, this is how you should think?
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, saying this generation doesn't like being told what to do. I don't know if any generation liked being told what to do.
Of course, yeah.
I think if you go back to the 1960s, Bob Dylan writing protest songs, the times they are changing or whatever. I think when young people in general don't like being told what to do, I think what's interesting about now, which is different to what's happened previously, is that in fact a lot of protest songs are not allowed to cut through because the media in general and the entertainment industry in general is so super safe now that protest songs are not given a platform in the same way that they used to be. And you don't get big artists. Imagine Robbie Williams singing a protest song, right? It's not going to happen, is it? Right? Now, but you go back to the times of the Beatles, they would sing a protest song.
And Billy Bragg made it, you know, into the top five.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you see what I mean about the just now we live in this time where there's a huge amount of risk averseness within the music industry in general and within the media in general, which I think makes it even more important that songs like this come to light and that people actually start... You know, look, there's a lot of protest songs around, but when you really think about it, they're not allowed into the mainstream very often.
Final question. Mm-hmm. Just some way, imagine this. Okay, these three people that you wear the masks of, Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un, kind of, I don't know, they've all met up, they're all mates now anyway, and they come and sit in the back of your gig. And they watch the gig.
Yeah.
And then they come up to you afterwards, pint of beer in each hand. What do you think they'd say?
I think they'd like it, actually. I think they'd like the gig in a sense, because I think that there's a lot of humour to what we're doing. We're not fans of these characters, but at the same time, in the way that we sing about them and in the way that we make this protest, it's intelligent. It's not... Mm. If you go online and you listen to the songs, you know, it's not F-U-C-K Trump or anything like that. It's there's a lot more to it than that, and it's a lot more defined. Mm. And so I think that... I don't think it would be a problem. I'd be happy to have a beer with Donald Trump, actually, you know. I've got a few things I'd like to say over that beer.
Belden Haig, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.